This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Can I really ask God for that? Welcome to Unhurried, the podcast. This is our 11th episode. I'm really glad to have you with us. This week, we are continuing in our podcast theme, the idea of lift Him up, which coincides with Easter week here. Although what I want to talk about today, though it fits perfectly with the Passion Week of Jesus, it is relevant all year long. So this is a great day for us here at the podcast. We actually are celebrating 1,000 downloads in a couple months that we've been operating, which is a big deal for us. I thought when we first started that I might be the only one listening. Maybe my mom would listen. Ryan, who's been helping with this, he promised me his mom would listen. But there's a number of you out there, so we're really grateful that you're following along. And in celebration of this, someone actually gave me a little bit more merch here for our podcast. Maybe you remember a few podcasts ago I told you about someone who made a Unhurried ball cap for me. And he actually made a couple of them. He's wearing one around too, and I have one. So I love it. I kind of kidded about having merch, and then we had it. And then today, celebrating our 1,000 downloads, someone gave me an Unhurried tote bag. So it says, it just has the phrase Unhurried. So it goes along with our photo on the podcast, Unhurried with Doug Kyle. So now I, you know, when I stop by Trader Joe's on the way home, I have something to put the head of lettuce and peanut butter filled pretzels in. As you probably know, our podcast is designed to follow along with the messages that I give on Sunday morning at Green Valley Church in San Diego, but they also stand alone and they take a little bit deeper than what we can cover on a Sunday morning. This week after the service, I was talking to someone who said, you know, that the practical points that you gave at the end of the message, you could take some of that so much deeper. And it's really true. And one of the things that I talked about near the end of the message was the idea that we can enhance our prayers. We can make them so much richer if we simply added one phrase to the end of it. I'll mention that near the end of our podcast, what it is. But that's really what I want to develop here a little bit today. Is it okay to ask for what you want? Is God okay with that? Can I really ask God for that, whatever that is in our own lives? I know there's a lot of times that we don't ask God for what we really want, and I think there's a number of reasons that that happens. One, sometimes we think it's just too small. We think the item is just, you know, this God's concerned about big things in the world. He's concerned about war and bringing peace on earth and dealing with all the tension and drama, earthquakes and flooding and cancer, the big issues in the world. Certainly this small little area of my life isn't worth bringing up to God. Sometimes we think it's too small. Sometimes we think it's too selfish. It's just somehow, you know, we're supposed to just bring spiritual things to the Lord. This one is way too selfish. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to ask God for that. Maybe we think, well, there's bigger needs in the world than this one. I know I feel that tug often. I'll be praying about something and I think, wow, you know, there's someone in my life that has a much more serious problem than I do. Someone I know, I should be praying for that, not the thing that is consuming my attention right now. There's bigger needs in the world. I also feel like there's a deeper issue that is epidemic within the life of many believers, and that is that we have sort of compartmentalized God, And we feel like these are the things that God cares about. They're the spiritual things. And most of the things I spend my life on, God doesn't care about. And so we sort of have these two categories in our life. This is God's stuff and this is my stuff. And my stuff doesn't really fit in his agenda. I feel like we have this stained glass view of those things that are spiritual and everything else outside of those categories God doesn't care about. I remember talking to this one guy, and it was actually a follow-up to a coaching session that I had where I was really helping him understand maybe some of the ways that God would want to use him in his life. And he was talking about various things that he might get involved in. And one of the things he was interested in is developing sort of a ministry to the surfing culture here in San Diego. And he immediately discounted. He immediately dismissed it. He thought, that's too unspiritual, that, or maybe too selfish. It's just something that I would like. But he felt bad about doing something for God that he felt would be too much fun for him. And I really challenged him, saying, God, you know, really designed you with that passion. And it's certainly worthy to bring to God. If you want it, if that's something that you would desire, it's certainly a worthy topic to bring up before the Lord. Nevertheless, I feel like there's a lot of things that we don't bring up before God. We don't ask him for. We don't seek, because we either think they're too small, they're too selfish, they're too unspiritual, that there are bigger needs in the world, or that we've just kind of compartmentalized God into these certain areas of the things he cares about, and most of the things we care about, we think he doesn't. So I want to challenge that a little bit today for a couple of reasons. One is because, well, he knows anyway. If it's on your heart, he knows it anyway. There's no reason why we shouldn't bring it to him. And secondly, because Jesus modeled for us something that I think is incredibly helpful when we think about our own prayers as well. And that's what I want to develop. It comes from the passage that we covered last Sunday. Again, it's from it was from Palm Sunday. It's from Easter week, and yet this is relevant all year long. There on the afternoon of Palm Sunday in John 12:27, Jesus utters this beautiful insight into what he was going through, the agony on the inside of him. Here it says this, he says, "Now my soul is troubled," Jesus says, "and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." To me, that's just an incredible insight into Jesus's inner life, what was going on, the struggle inside. It talks about how he was troubled on the inside, and he kind of maybe hypothetically, rhetorically asked the question, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Now, I right away pretty much get that prayer. That is my go-to prayer whenever I'm in an hour of trouble. Father, save me from this hour. I totally get that prayer. Rescue me from this trial. Rescue me from this dilemma. Get me out of this problem that I'm facing. But when Jesus says it, it kind of catches us off guard, doesn't it? It's sort of like, really, is he really genuinely considering that? And it's so interesting that we get this insight into Jesus. And I suppose we could just write it off. I suppose we could just discount that saying as something that he's just being completely hypothetical about and rhetorical and not really, really grappling with, except it is set up with the words that he was troubled inside. And we are also given this description in the other Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where we're told about his struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane a couple days later. Perhaps you remember how he prayed for God to take away the cup of his suffering. And so what we see in John, that question that about, shall I ask God to take away this hour, rescue me from this hour, is completely consistent with what he says in the other Gospels, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked for God to take the cup away from him. It is the same struggle. It is the same agony that Jesus is wrestling with. You know, sometimes when it comes to what we want, it is born out of pain. pain. It is really that which really troubles us and agonizes us on the inside. And maybe that's another reason we don't bring it before God, is because we feel like it's just too painful. It comes from a very deep place. And so I appreciate so much that the scriptures remind us of Jesus's agony at this point. If you've ever wondered if Jesus understands your anxiety, your angst, your inner agitation, this passage should convince you. It says that he was troubled deeply, and he considered, God, maybe I should just ask you to rescue me from this hour. We see the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane and the other accounts, where in Luke 22, it's told that Jesus was in anguish and he prayed more earnestly and he sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. Other religions have heroes that seem to be untouched by any kind of pain or suffering, any kind of human frailty. Christianity is different. We have a Savior who entered our world, entered our pain, took our place. And if we ever wanted evidence that Jesus understands our pain, this is it. Here, the final week of his ministry here on earth, and we are seeing just the inner turmoil that he faces. It is one of Jesus' most famous prayers there in the garden when he prayed, Father, if possible, take this cup away from me. But don't overlook it. Jesus expressed to God exactly what he wanted. In that prayer, we see that Jesus said, this is what I want, and there's a mystery here of Jesus, his own humanity being expressed, but what we can land on for sure is that Jesus, in his full humanity, never releasing his complete deity, but in his full humanity, really was able to express his aversion to facing the suffering that was ahead. Jesus modeled for us that it is perfectly legitimate for us to express our desires, our wishes, our fears, our aspirations, and our apprehensions to the Lord. What do we want to happen? What do we not want not to happen? That is something that is completely fair game for us to bring to the Lord. But even as we do, there are a couple alignments that I want to add to that help conform what we're saying, what we're expressing to God. And Jesus modeled this for us. Two kind of ways that we align our aspirations and our hopes and our dreams along with God's purpose for our lives. And I love these because prayer and even just expressing to the Lord what we want, being honest with what we want before God, is meant to open us up to really then merging that with his bigger picture, his greater plan for us as well. So here it is, two things that we can add to our prayers, that we can factor in with our hopes and our dreams, that will give us greater alignment to God's purpose and plan in our lives. A couple things that are both modeled by Jesus. The first one is what we see in the John passage, the one that goes along with Jesus saying, you know, when wondering out loud, should I ask God to remove me or protect me from this hour? And immediately after that, in John 12:28, he prays, he says, Father, glorify your name. And that is the first thing that we need to add to our alignment, add to our desires, add to our wishes. Father, whatever happens, glorify your name. If this goes well the way I hope it will go, glorify your name. If this doesn't go exactly the way I would script it, no matter what, glorify your name. Now, instead of seeing that as a concession, as sort of like, well, I need to, add this, and that gives God the freedom to do, differently than what I want, as if we're sort of conceding that I'm not going to get what I want. Instead of seeing it as a concession, it actually it makes our prayers better, makes our aspirations better. I mean, I get that we all want God to airlift us out of troubles. But this isn't really putting our head down and just burying it. It's an openness to a God who sees things better than we do. And his glory, having him glorified in our life, is way better than what we would choose ourselves. Years ago, many years ago, now before I came to be the lead pastor at this church, I was in the running to be the lead pastor at another church. And at that point in my life, I thought that was exactly the best possible scenario I could imagine. And I was leaning that direction, hoping in that direction, praying for that. Everything in me wanted to go that direction. But being open to God being glorified in however he led and however things unfolded meant that that door closed and this one opened, the church where I currently serve. And I couldn't be happier about that. In hindsight, this is such a better, much better fit for me than what I thought at the time was a good fit. And I believe it brings more glory to God than what I had in my mind imagined. In the same way, when we ask God to be glorified, it's not saying I'm willing to settle for second best. It's the idea that you have something even better than I could imagine that would bring greater glory to you and greater glory to your kingdom. And therefore, I would be more satisfied and I would be more fulfilled in the process as well. The second way that we merge our desires with God's plan for our lives, we allow the two to meld together, is by not only adding to our wishes or aspirations, our dreams, the phrase, "Father, be glorified in this," is secondly adding the phrase, "Your will be done." Again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed, "Lord, if possible, take this cup away from me," he added, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." And to me, coupling those two things together, being honest with God about what we want, be honest with ourselves with what we want, be open to that, and even pursue it to the degree that the options are there, always do it open-handedly, trusting that God is in the midst of it, and he has a will that's higher than our will. And so we tell God what we want, and then we add to that, "But your will be done." And again, this isn't simply conceding or settling for second best. It really is an openness that God has a bigger view than we do and has plans that are broader and bigger and more wonderful than what we could experience, what we could expect, what we could anticipate. Jesus, of course, taught us to pray, you know, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And that was completely consistent with what Jesus himself did. There in the most important moment of his life, he laid before God what he wanted, and then he added, "Nonetheless, your will be done." And we're told that in that moment, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And we find strength, heavenly strength, spiritual strength, strength from on high, when we live our lives with open hands before him, asking that his will would be done in concert with telling him exactly what we would like as well. Those two things go hand in hand, and it becomes this incredible balance, or balance isn't even the word I want to say. It's this incredible compliment, the way those two things work in concert with one another. When we're honest with ourselves and honest with God about what we want, we are in a better position to really be open to what he wants as well. So I would encourage you to add those two things to your hopes and your dreams. To be honest with God, "These are my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations, my wishes. This is my fear and this is my great desire." Lay those things before God and then add to them these two attitudes that will bring great alignment with his plan for you. "Be glorified in this and your will be done." Well, this has been our 11th podcast. You can always hear the verse-by-verse exposition that I did of this at the Green Valley Church podcast that goes along with it. Thank you so much for following along, for listening. I'm Doug Kyle, your host. and I look forward to talking soon.